بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So last week we began the study of Surah Al-Falaq, second last surah in the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the surah tells us to say that we seek refuge with Him, with the Rabb of Al-Falaq, commonly translated as the Lord or the Rabb of the Dawn. And the dawn signifies, you know, creation, a new beginning and sprouting. And the word Falaq literally means to pierce through, to sprout out, to come out. And this is really the initial stages of the creation, right? So any form of creation that we see comes out in that way. So it is the Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who makes that happen, who controls that, and who nourishes that creation and allows it to grow. and He tells us to seek protection with Him from min sharri ma khalaq, right? From the evil of whatever He has created, right? So all of His creation, whatever evil they may have, whatever evil they may be able to commit, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to seek protection with Him against all of those. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And from the evil of the darkness when it overspreads. Right? So the darkness comes with its own dangers and certain, you know, evils that occur during darkness. So, and evil itself can be, you know, understood as darkness as well. And that when it starts overspreading, it covers everything, and everything that is covered with it is then at risk. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to seek His protection from the evil of the darkness as well when it overspreads. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of those who blow on knots. And if you look at the grammar very closely, Nafathat is referring plural, feminine. So the women who blow on knots, and this is referring to those who practice magic. And in particular, perhaps it was the women who were more, you know, or those who were, let's put it this way, that those who are experts were commonly women in this area, and therefore that it has been used in the feminine sense. But nonetheless, it applies to everyone who practices this evil, which is the blowing on knots, which refers to magic, and we talked about that a bit. And finally, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And from the evil of the envier when he envies. So hasad is a term that is used here, and mentioned in some hadith as well. And, you know, sometimes, actually there, a lot of times there's confusion between envy and jealousy and these different terms. So hasad is really referring to envy, and envy is to want someone else to lose a blessing that they have. To want that someone else loses a blessing that they have. And perhaps to want it too. But that's not a requirement for envy. So envy is really to want someone who has been blessed with something, whatever it may be, for them to lose that. And I was actually looking up, because I myself have been confused between the difference between jealousy and envy as well. So I tried to look that up, because what's the difference between jealousy and envy? So grammatically, at least in English, jealousy is regarding something that you have and someone is trying to acquire it, or someone is trying to set foot into it, or you feel that you feel threatened that they're trying to take it away from you. Therefore, you feel jealous. Now, on the other hand, envy is the opposite. Is that when somebody else has something and you don't want them to have it and you want them to lose it. Okay, so it's they're not exactly the same, but hasad would be referring to envy, right? Which is somebody else has something and that causes, you feel something in your heart, right? You see someone else get a promotion, you see someone else, you know, get a new car, you see someone else, you know, buy a new house, get married, whatever it is, and you feel something in your heart. And so obviously something which is negative. It's not like you're happy for them. You actually feel something negative in your heart. So this is hasad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to seek His protection from the evil of the envier when he envies. Now this verse is related to the previous verse as well, which had to do with magic, of course, because one of the motivators behind using magic is envy. Right? So when people feel envious, one of the things that they resort to sometimes is using magic, or to harm people, to harm others, to harm the object of the envy, or the person they are envious of. Now, it's also interesting to note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's talking about magic, He says, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, right? So from the evil of those who blow on the knots. But when He talks about hasad, when He talks about envy, He said, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَد, the evil of the envier, when he actually envies. Okay? So, some of the mufassirun have mentioned that this indicates that when it comes to magic, there's no goodness in it. Right? So he didn't say, for example, that from the evil of those who blow on knots when they want to do harm. Right? But he said from the evil of those who blow on knots. So blowing on knots, practicing magic, is evil in and of itself. Right? So there's no goodness in that whatsoever. Somebody tries to say, no, I'm trying to do it for a good purpose. No, it doesn't work. Okay? Because that's completely evil. On the other hand, if a person is envious, then a person could be feeling envious, but may not necessarily be committing evil at that point. The evil actually comes in when the person acts upon those feelings of envy, when he or she actually takes a step to do something about it. You understand the distinction, right? So you could be feeling envious about something, and that's not to say that that's positive, but still, just that feeling in and of itself may not be evil, or be completely evil, or at least be harmful to someone else. But when a person starts acting upon that feeling, and starts doing something about it, to actually inflict harm, then that is when the evil comes. And so this tells us that, envy is actually something that can be controlled. Envy is something that can actually be controlled, and one does not automatically become a doer of evil if one just feels some envy. Because, this is a thought that can perhaps come into the heart. Because, of course, we don't have full control over our minds and what comes into our minds and the feelings that we get. So it's possible that a person feels some envy. And until that person starts acting upon that envy, then at that point that person becomes one who is actually doing evil and committing evil. And before that, that a person has still not stepped into that realm of a person who is evil. Now, of course, if it is left uncontrolled, if it is not limited, then if it's not controlled in some way, or if it's not subdued, then a person can definitely, it can lead a person to acting upon the temptation and then becoming one who commits an evil act to hurt others. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, he talks about the definition of hasad, and he gives the definition that I gave earlier, that hasad is the wish for the elimination of bounties or goodness of others. Hasad is the wish, the desire for the elimination of bounties or goodness of others. Now there's a number of, of feeling and emotions that go through our mind, where there's many feelings and many emotions we go through. But why is this one so important? And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly pointing this one out? Definitely because, and envy has been related to or linked with fire as well, right? So the fire of envy, it's a very, how should I put it? It's a very strong emotion, or it's one that can be very deeply rooted inside, right? That can be a great, I shouldn't say great motivator, but it can really motivate a person to commit evil. So if a person is feeling envious, and then on top of that has the ability and the power to do something, then that can really lead to mischief and evilness. Now, if a person is lacking the ability and the power to do that evil, or to carry out that, to do something about that feeling of envy, then that fire of envy can consume the mental peace and health of a person. Okay, so for example, if someone is in a high position at work, let's say, okay, so you have someone who's a supervisor, who's a manager, whatever it is, in senior management, and they feel that someone is, they feel threatened by someone, or they see that someone is actually rising up and is getting promoted as well, and they feel like, you know, they feel threatened that they you know, can be overtaken in one way or the other. If they have the power to do something, they can actually act upon it and can take steps to ensure that this person stays limited, that they don't get future opportunities, and you know, they don't basically become a threat to them, or continue to become a threat. Now, if a person does not have that power, right? So somebody who, let's say you're at the same level and there's a colleague, and you don't, you know, you work together on a project or you work together on a team, and then this person is actually progressing more quickly than you are, and is getting the promotions and getting the raises and so on, and you're powerless to really do anything about it, then this can start eating up. Even though you're not going to do anything about it, it can start eating up your peace of mind, right? It starts eating up your peace of your mental peace and your the peace in your heart and your health as well, right? Because you start thinking about it and you start thinking negatively, and you know, everything that they do, you're constantly, you know, trying to find something wrong in what they're doing, and it just completely destroys the, you know, the normal sense of the normal state of mind, or the balanced and healthy state of mind that a person should have. Now, it's not just described as a possible cause to physical harm to others or mental harm to the person who's envious or is jealous, but it's also a spiritual disease as well that hurts a person's faith. It is a spiritual disease that hurts, that damages a person's spiritual well-being as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dabba ilaykum da'ul umami qablakum al-hasad wal-baghdha, that there has come to you the disease of the nations before you. There have come to you the diseases, or there has come to you the disease of the nations before you. Al-hasad, so envy, wal-baghdha, and hatred. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hiya al-haliqa, that this is the shaver. How did he describe it? As a shaver, you know, the shaver that you use, like a razor blade, right, to shave your head. So this is a shaver. And he said, لَا أَقُولُ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرِ, that I don't say that this, it shaves hair. Okay, so envy and hatred, this is a disease that I'm not saying that it actually shaves hair, but وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. What does it do? But it shaves faith. It destroys faith. Envy and hatred. This is very important for us, especially in our times. Envy and hatred. This disease, the Prophet ﷺ described it as what? As a shaver, as a destroyer. Right? Just like a shaver or a razor takes away and cuts out the hair. So he said, I'm not saying that it shaves hair, but it shaves, meaning it destroys faith. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, by the one in whose hand is my soul. And this is this part of the hadith we commonly mention, often mention, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ, that you will not enter paradise until you believe. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا, and you will not enter, and you will not believe, rather, until you love one another. Okay? So by him in whose hand is my soul, you will not enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not believe, so this is a condition of Iman, that you will not believe until you love one another. Okay? أَفَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا يُثَبِّتُ ذَاكُمْ, right? Should I not tell you of that which will strengthen love between you? Shall I not tell you about something that will strengthen love between you? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ, spread the salam amongst yourself. Commonly translated as spread the greetings of salam amongst yourselves, or spread the peace amongst yourself. And this is recorded in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Right? So so we're talking about envy, right? So so it does not only affect the person who is the object of the envy, but also a spiritual suicide for the holder of the envy, right? So if a person allows envy to grow inside their hearts, then this is essentially like committing spiritual suicide, or at least going towards it. Now, one form of this envy, and some of the scholars mentioned that it actually includes this as well, is al-ayn, right? The evil eye. The evil eye. It is also included in terms of the protection that we are seeking when we recite Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad, the evil eye. So what is an evil eye? Is when a person harms another person with their eyes. Okay, now you say, how is that possible? How could you harm someone with your eyes? You're just looking at them. So a person, this is how it works. So a person likes a thing. Okay, so you see something that someone has, something that they have, some blessing that they have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you like that thing. And there are some evil feelings associated with what you see. Right? You see it. And you know, a person then constantly continues to look at it with a certain look, right? With a certain desire. And this desire is one that is fueled with envy. Right? So you look at something that someone else has, and all these negative thoughts, you know, going through your mind, start going through your mind, and you start feeling it in your heart. And it is said that, you know, everyone who puts the evil eye on another person is envious, but not every envier puts the evil eye on another. Okay, so if a person puts the evil eye on someone else, it's because they are envious, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to, you know, do the evil, you know, put the evil eye on someone or on something in order to be envious, right? So someone could be envious without actually putting the evil eye on someone. So basically, the scholars describe it as an arrow. So evil eye, al-ayn, is like an arrow which comes from the soul of the one who envies and goes towards the one who is envied. Okay? And on whom the evil eye is put. So the evil eye is like an arrow that comes out from the soul of the one who envies and the one who puts the evil eye on another towards the one who is envied. And on whom the evil eye is put, sometimes it hits the other person and sometimes it misses the person. Now, if the target is exposed and is unprotected, then the effects of this evil eye, you know, can become apparent. But if the person, if the target is cautious and if the target is armed with protection, then the arrow will have no effect and actually it may even come back to the person who launched it. Right? And this is you know, for someone who is sort of willingly doing that, right? So willingly looking at something with this feeling of envy. So that's what it's really referring to, right? Is to look at something. So it's not to say that you can't look at something if somebody has, you know, so something that, you know, that you like or something that is nice. So it doesn't mean you turn away. But what it means is, and we're talking about objects here, obviously. But what it means is that, you know, if you look at something, you should not be looking at it with the feeling of envy. And if a person does that with this feeling of envy, and it's coming from the heart, right? It's coming from the heart. It's in the depths of the heart, and you're feeling something in your heart, and you're looking at it like, right? Even if you don't make any expressions, but you're just looking at it with that, then it is quite possible that that envy that you're feeling inside your heart actually gets transferred to the object or to the person who is enjoying that blessing, and as a result of that, of this feeling of yours, you know, they end up, you know, going through some sort of difficulty or some sort of you know, problem with what that blessing that they had that they had received from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And now, of course, this act in and of itself is something which Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala allows to happen, right? And not something that we want to do, right? We shouldn't be trying to do that. And it's not totally guaranteed either that, you know, if you try to, you know, you shouldn't be trying to do it anyway. But it's not necessarily guaranteed that, you know, it will actually happen every single time. But there is a strong possibility that it could happen. And sometimes actually people say that it's perhaps sometimes even unintended as well, right? Meaning that you may not actually be wanting harm for that particular person, right? So you're actually looking at it with this feeling of, you know, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's deep inside. You don't actually mean that you want this person to actually, you know, lose the blessing that they have. But at the same time, there is something that you feel, it's making you feel uncomfortable, right? It's making you feel uncomfortable. Or you are, you know, perhaps, you know, looking at them and saying things and really, like really hyping it up and really making it you know, very positive, but deep inside there is some element of envy perhaps that you don't realize or that is a little bit hidden deep inside you. And even though you don't really intend it, like if somebody asked you, like, oh, do you actually want that person to lose that blessing? You would be like, no, look, why would I want that, right? And you know, you wouldn't admit it and you probably wouldn't realize it very consciously. But subconsciously, deep inside, there is something that is amiss that you are feeling. And it's natural, you know. it happens a lot of times to us, right? We're a human being. Somebody else, you know, does something, gets something, and, you know, we start feeling uncomfortable, let's put it that way. So to combat this destructive force, now I'm not talking about just the evil eye, but just generally this destructive force of envy, the first thing we must do is we must realize and understand that the goodness that people enjoy, the blessings, are bestowed as a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Whatever anyone receives, right? Whatever anything anyone has, is from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Right? Now, people sometimes people will make an effort, obviously, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gives them something as a result of their effort that they have made. But whatever it is, right? So whatever promotion someone is getting, or whoever they're getting married to, or whatever type of car they're driving, or whatever wealth they have, or anything else, whatever success they have, it's all a gift from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And Allah tells us, especially when it comes to rizq, that He has bestowed His gifts of sustenance more freely on some of you than others, right? Allahu faddala ba'dakum ala ba'din fil rizq, right? So when it comes to that, there are going to be inequalities. Not everyone is going to be the same. And we're not meant to, live, like in a communist state where, like, everyone has exactly the same amount of wealth. And actually, even then, that doesn't happen, because those in power, usually are exempt from that. But nonetheless, we're not meant to be like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given some more and has given others less. And Allah also says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ عِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. It is we who distribute their means of livelihood among them in the life of this world, and raise some of them by degrees above others, right? So this is a natural system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is something that we must all accept. And Allah tells us, instructs us essentially not to worry about the matters in which He has allowed others to excel. Right, so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed someone else to excel, in whichever area it is, whether it's intelligence or whether it's looks, or it's beauty, or it's marriage, or whatever it is, don't worry about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to others, right? And we should always be focused on ourselves and not looking at other people. And Allah also tells us, wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. Don't even wish for it. Don't wish for things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. Now, if there's something that you want, that you desire, then have, just seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Don't worry about it's because someone else has it, so therefore I also want it. Right? Like, why are you basing your wants and your desires on what others have? Right? If you really want something, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, work hard for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you, inshallah, if He has willed it for you. But why should I be thinking that, okay, because such and such person has it, so therefore now I want it also? Right, so this is the problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. So thus, if we entertain thoughts of envy, we're actually wishing for the destruction of our divinely chosen and bestowed bounties, right? Because, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted someone something, and we are wishing through our envy that Allah hadn't given it to them. And that's actually pretty serious. Right? Allah desires to give someone something, and then we're desiring that, no, Allah shouldn't have given it to that person. All right, so, we're actually now sort of trying to dictate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be giving to who. Right? And this is also obviously a very, very, very dangerous thing. Right? So, just like other diseases, we also got to try to figure out what causes hasad and what leads to hasad. One of the primary factors, anger and malice. Right? Anger and malice, right? So when we are hurt by another person, it's possible that anger is created, right? And then that anger creates malice in the heart and the desire for revenge. And again, it's usually associated with some sort of blessing that the other person has. Okay, so we get angered. An example. So, let's say you are, mashallah, old enough that you have children who are ready to get married. So your son is looking to get married. You're trying to find someone for your son. And then, your family gives a proposal to a family in which you see a potential bride for your son. And they turn down the proposal. Right? For one reason or the other, they decide that, no, it wouldn't be a good fit. And they say no. Now, you really wanted this and you thought it would be great. But now you're upset, you're hurt, and you get angry. You get angry, and now you want revenge. So you find out who she's about to get married. So that girl that you wanted to marry your son, now she's getting married to someone else. And this actually happens. I mean, this is a hypothetical scenario, but stuff like this actually happens. Okay, so people will go and they'll say, okay, you know what? You put in a bad word here and there. Okay, so you find out that, okay, you know, that there's something going on, there's some discussion going on. Okay, so let me try to sabotage any further potential, engagements that she may have in the future. Okay, because I'm upset, so now I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. Put a bad word here and there, or, you know, make an anonymous call. And you'll be surprised at how many people actually, you know, this happens to. You know, so there's somebody gets engaged, and everyone knows now. And then somebody calls, you know, it's like a private call or whatever, right? No caller ID, a blocked caller, somebody calls in and says, oh, you know, such and such person, okay, your son or daughter is engaged. Okay, well, you know, this person, this is, you know, this is some story about them, right? Some sort of, you know, so something that is not very positive. To try to dissuade the person to marry. You know, so stuff like this, unfortunately, does happen. Sometimes, you know, a person achieves a high status in society, so it could be financially, or in terms of social capital, so in terms of fame, or in terms of, you know, visibility and or acceptance by society. Many times it happens that he or she then hates seeing others progress or surpass them, right? Or be praised over him or her. And if that happens, then that also leads to envy, right? So somebody becomes known for something, right? Becomes famous for something. Or establishes a reputation for something good, and then somebody else comes, and it seems like, you know, they may overtake them, or they are also getting some attention now, or people are also recognizing them in the same area, in the same field, or with similar traits, and then that, you know, sometimes leads to envy, because of, you know, why I should be the one, or I'm the one who has been accepted or was liked by everyone else. Why is someone else doing that? And unfortunately, you know, I have to say, you know, sometimes we find this very common in the Muslim communities, and not just between individuals, right? I mean, you'll even see organizations doing that against one another, right? Like Islamic organizations, like masajid, right? Like competing against each other. Now, if they compete against each other for with good intention, then that's a good thing, right? I mean, you compete with each other and doing good, okay? And you say, okay, mashallah, you know, they've built a masjid and that community has done this and so on. So, you know, we should also try to increase our goodness so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But instead, you know, the envy kicks in, or the nafs kicks in, the shaitan kicks in, all these, you know, different elements come together, and a community may end up doing the same thing, but for the wrong reasons, okay? So instead of thinking that, okay, we should also build a good masjid, or we should also have this, and we should also have that, so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead it becomes, oh, they're doing it, so now we need to outplay them, we need to be bigger than them, or we need to be better than them, because, you know, why have they done that? Now we need to do better. Okay, so the whole motivation behind it and the whole intention behind it goes negative, right? So instead of trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes about pleasing the nafs, right? So that we can say that, yes, our masjid is better, or our this, and then we can have pride in it. And again, it could be positive pride if only it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't become for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, it becomes for our own selves. And this is very problematic, unfortunately, and this is very sad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Or it could be the opposite as well, right? So a person does not have something, does not have wealth, does not have the fame or the recognition or whatever it is, and sees others progressing and just starts getting envious about that. And say, okay, why is this person? Or family members even, right? So you have children, you have cousins, you know, someone is a little bit behind in some ways, someone else is a bit ahead, and then these things start coming together. At the root of it really is, you know, arrogance, we find, you know, arrogance. So my ego is being hurt if someone else is, if I feel someone else is getting ahead of me. Conceitful pride, right? Love for fame or for worldly things. Greed, that's what it is, right? So I want to have the best, right? I want to have the best. I want to, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to do our best, but no, I want to have the best and I want to be the only one who is the best. Right? And if someone else starts getting better than me, then I have a problem in my heart. And in that, I don't want them to do that. Right? If it motivates me to become better at what I do,
Because I see someone else is doing better than me, though I should also get motivation and I should also try to improve. That's positive. That's fine. But it shouldn't be that, okay, the other person is progressing, is advancing, and I have a problem in my heart. And therefore, I'm going to try to put them down. I'm going to try to beat them out because I don't want them to get that. So to treat this, first of all, obviously, there must be recognition. If you don't have recognition, if you don't understand and recognize the problem, then we can't solve it. Right? The first step to solving a problem is to recognize it, right? Secondly, because it's a spiritual issue, sincere repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's a sincere tawbah to Allah. That, oh Allah, you know, this is the feeling that I get in my heart, or I have acted in this way in the past, and this is something that I now recognize is wrong, and I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry, I apologize, and inshallah from now on I promise that I'm going to try not to feel this way, and if I do feel this way, I will try to control it, and I will certainly not act upon it, inshallah. And then choking off the root causes, right? So this anger, this malice, this pride, arrogance that we were talking about, the love for fame and the love for the dunya, and this is at the root of it all, right? The root of it is really discontent, right? Discontent with our present situation, right? Being discontent with that. So recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most fair and the most just, and whatever He has given us over and others is all from His decree, right? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us with, it's from His decree. This is what He has decided. So let us be thankful and be happy for whatever He has given us. And do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And as the scholars often say, you know, look at those who have less. Right? Don't look at those who have more. Don't look at those who are ahead. But look at those who have less. And this is how one becomes truly grateful. If we keep looking up, right, at all the things that we don't have, and we keep thinking about that, then naturally we start building these types of feelings. So on the other hand, if you look at those who are, you know, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given less in some ways, then inshallah we will be we will be thankful and we will be content. And of course make dua as well to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Right, O Allah, our Rabb, forgive us our sins as well as those of our brethren who preceded us. And this is a very beautiful dua, because we're not just supplicating for ourselves, but we're actually supplicating for those who have passed as well, for all the believers of the past. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And let not our hearts entertain any unworthy thoughts or feelings against any of those who have attained to faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Right? So don't allow our hearts to harbor any ill feelings or any negative thoughts about those who have attained faith. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. O Rabb, verily Thou art compassionate and dispenser of grace. And finally, if it's against a specific person, right? So if you're feeling really envious about someone and something that they have achieved, then buy a gift for them. I know it's hard. Okay, it can be hard, but buy a gift. And the Prophet ﷺ was actually encouraged exchanging gifts as well, because this is something that spreads love between people. Right? So buy them a gift, and at the very least, say salam to them. Right, especially if they're Muslims, then exchange salam with them and increase this interaction and this reading of peace, and this will definitely, inshallah, strengthen the love. And it's an emotion, it's a feeling. So we try our best, but at the very least, try to suppress it inside, so that it doesn't become apparent and it doesn't lead us to act upon the feelings that we are actually. The feelings of envy that we have inside of us, right? So try to contain it and try to manage it as much as possible, because, you know, we don't, I mean, on the one hand, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evil of the envier when he envies, but we don't want to be the ones who are actually doing that, right? We don't want to be the one who, about whom Allah, people are actually asking Allah to protect us, to protect them against, right? So we don't want to be the ones who are actually the ones that, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be, you know, giving other people protection against us. We don't want to be in that position. We want to be the ones who are actually protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah azza wa jal protect us from these types of evil and all the types of evil that exist. May Allah azza wa jal give us the ability to recognize these negative thoughts and these diseases, and may Allah cure us from all of the diseases that exist within us. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.